This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by ARS Restoration, here when you need expert help with fire, flood, and water damage repair the most. To consult with ARS Restoration Specialists, please call 401-722-9595 or visit them online at arsserve.com.
The following program has been paid for by Greater Rhode Island Chapter 88 of the Institute of Real Estate Management. It is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV, its management, or staff. This is IREM Today, the property management show with Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790 WPRV. Join them now for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Now, here's Dina and Chrissy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to IREM Today, the property management show here on AM 790. It is Tuesday, April 10th, and the sun is not shining.
It is not.
It was snowing. It was raining.
It was. And I was a little sad about it.
I was very sad.
And I was like, I thought we're going finally into springtime, but I guess I have to think again.
Yeah, no. My kids this morning, Mom, what's the temperature going to be? Can I wear shorts? No, it's going to be in the 40s and snowing.
Can I wear
shorts?
Well,
I get hot. Yeah, I understand that, but it's going to look like I'm not doing my due diligence as a parent to dress you properly. But it's spring. I know.
It's really not.
My struggle every morning with
forget
my son.
It. Just forget it.
Yeah, no, I'm over it. So maybe next week the sun will be shining.
Hopefully.
How was your
well,
weekend?
Well, it's supposed to be a nice weekend this weekend.
I know.
It's supposed to be like pretty sunny out. And
yeah, 60s.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm great with that. That's wonderful.
We're getting there, spring. Yeah. We're getting there. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a great weekend. How about you, Dina?
I went to go see Pink last night at TD Garden. It was such a great concert. She flies all around the stage like she's Cirque du Soleil. It was absolutely amazing. At the TD Garden in Boston.
Oh, wow.
She does an aerial show. She literally came out opening on a giant chandelier hanging from it and then comes down, does dances. She sings. She's very interactive with her audience. And she was so interactive.
Was this for you or was this for your daughter?
No, me.
Oh, okay.
No, she's going to go see Taylor Swift in July. She doesn't know that yet, though. But no, Pink was so interactive with her fans that she was actually walking around the people in the front row. She noticed one of them. She's like, hey, I just saw your video up on Twitter that you made about me. And I'm like, there's 30,000 people here and you're running around singing. And she stopped and picked out the person. It was wild.
Sounds like a Rhode Island thing,
yeah,
but it was a Massachusetts thing.
Oh, it was so great. It was such a good time. Mm. But yeah, so I had a great weekend. It was awesome.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. All right. So we know that you've heard Jack in the background. Jack Bentz is back again with us.
We have a month with Jack.
We do.
An hour with Jack.
I like that.
Sponsored by IREM Today.
I like
How
this.
How about that, Jack?
That's pretty good.
We're
going to
call
good.
Our series A Month
wow.
with Jack. A month.
Wow, my impression.
A month with Jack.
Chrissy, she's good.
Man,
she
I'm
just...
not leaving.
Tuesdays with Jack. I mean, it could be Tuesdays
with Jack.
Jack. We have quite a few
Coffee
names.
With Jack.
We could do.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then we also have a special guest in studio today as well. We have Brenda Clement from Housing Works Rhode Island. So welcome, Brenda, to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
We're very happy to have you both here today.
The lady for housing.
Yeah, the lady. You
the
are
lady
the lady.
Housing.
Well, I thought her
Workforce
title was
housing.
Director on her card, but apparently it's the lady of
the
housing.
The lady of housing. There you go.
Okay, so I am Dina Cimarelli here in the studio today with my fabulous co-host, Chrissy Denalian, who we've just heard from. And in case this is the first time that you are tuning in, IREM Today is your live local radio show here every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, we know that there's a lot of these syndicated programs here on this station. However, we are not one of them.
We're not.
Why
but
not?
You can.
I don't know why
that
not.
You can reach us if you have any questions.
Reach
for
us live.
For the man of housing and
the
lady
of housing.
And then just the two little peons here, Chrissy and Prima Dina.
Prima Dina.
You can give us a call.
Boom, boom. What's going on?
You can give us a call here in the studio. So if you'd like to give us a call about any kind of questions that you might have. You can give us a call locally, 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790.
And in case you were tuning in for the first time and wondering what IREM is, what is it, what does it stand for? Well, IREM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management, the most professional group in the whole entire world for managing real estate.
The world.
We are worldwide.
The worldwide
And I love saying
group.
That.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We have, what, 12 international, 13 international chapters?
Yep.
13?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
are you the worldwide sponsor of all of this?
Worldwide sponsor of all
IREM. Of all things IREM.
All things IREM. I tell you, I've been there so long. along, I feel like I own the I feel like I own the group.
You own Irem.
I think I own Irem.
I think, I mean, you own the radio show, so yeah. I'll just back off.
So.
You know, we can talk about it. We have we do have some different designations that Jack always likes to talk about through Irem.
What are the different? There's an ARM.
There is an ARM, which stands for an Accredited Residential Manager.
He's acting coy.
I know. Look at him. He's like, oh, what was it?
You can only see him holding his head like he's trying to predict like the future.
Connick, Johnny Carson. CPM.
Yes.
Certified Property Manager.
Yeah.
The most prestigious, designation?
Yes.
In America.
And property management.
Yes. Property management.
It's like a degree from Brown University.
Well, you got me finally convinced from Harvard to Brown.
Yes, we gotta go to Brown.
Keep it local.
You gotta get local.
Even though we're worldwide, we like to keep it small to our state.
That's right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And Jack, you're a CPM.
Yes, I am a CPM.
And aren't we lucky enough to have you in our studio today?
I don't know about that.
A month with Jack. I can't believe it.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we always say it's great, you know, to obtain and hold both the ARM or the CPM because it's a, like Jack says, a prestigious designation, and you can hold it anywhere, no matter where you move, what state. You don't have to further test. You don't have to get licensed in another state. You can just take your credentials and just go off and find another job if you choose to move and go somewhere else.
If you decide to get out of our little, the greater Rhode Island area.
Well, why would you do that, though?
I don't know.
I mean, the weather is fantastic.
Really, it is, not joking, it is really the most prestigious designation you can possibly get in property management. And it's not easy to get.
No, I heard it's the CPM is not at all.
It is not easy to get at all. It takes a lot of studying. It takes a lot of time. And it is something that makes somebody know and have to have the knowledge to run not only commercial, residential, affordable, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of facets to the industry.
There's a lot of facets to it.
Yeah, for
sure.
So
it's not just one facet. It's many, many, many facets.
And Chrissy always talks about her job and how every day it's something different. She's either dealing with maintenance issues, you know, resident issues, or she's just got, you know, new tenants coming on. She's taking tours. She's planning
a lot of fun.
Monopoly night. She's dressing up like the Easter Bunny.
I mean,
she's driving a bulldozer in the snow.
That's right, too. I forgot about that from the last time.
I did all of that, actually.
Yeah.
I think I did all of that within the past, like, 2 weeks, actually.
I know. It's unbelievable.
It's fun.
Just as an aside, even though you might have a Bachelor of Science degree.
Mm-hmm. Which I do.
But that's still, you still need that CPM designation if you're going to go anywhere in the industry. Seriously.
Yes, absolutely.
So, anyway.
Yeah. No,
I mean,
I think in
property management in general, if anybody's thinking about getting into a career in property management, I mean, at my particular ownership, we don't necessarily look for somebody with a background that has a background in, you know, a business management or, you know, any kind of like certain degree. It just shows that people are outgoing. Mm-hmm. I mean, my degree was in theater. So what does that mean? But I mean,
Who knows?
But yeah, right. I don't know. Jack's acting today was a little on point. Yeah, right. I was like, I think that he should audition for a show or something soon. But if there's any kind of interest in any kind of property management at all, we are looking for some young professionals to get started with IREM. So even if you're just kind of thinking about potentially going into property management, we are going to be holding an event. It's going to be at Battlegrounds. So it's going to be, let me think here, it's May 23rd. It's Wednesday, May 23rd.
Go.
You can come. They're going to have laser tag, pizza. It's going to be a great time. And there's just going to be a couple of people kind of explaining how they got into the industry. And what's great about IREM is that they're willing to give you the training and the designation. So even if you don't have that background in property management or, you know, property management, real estate in general is such a big umbrella, you could actually get the training that you needed through IREM and then be a real professional in your industry.
Correct.
Yeah, and
absolutely,
you can go to iremri.org and you can register for Chrissy actually is sitting on the committee for the young professionals. And you can go right on and you can click on the link. It's $10. It sounds like it's a great night.
$10.
I might go just so I can play laser tag.
Anybody
with Chrissy
can go. If there's any interest at all, even people that are already in the industry, I know that this kind of outlines people that are just kind of beginning to dabble maybe in property management. But anybody that's ever interested in property management or is currently in property management is invited to go. bring your sneakers, I guess I should say. It's not a business professional event. You're going to get a little active.
Well, it's at Battleground. Yes. So if the title of where you're going.
Where's Battleground?
It's actually in Lincoln. It's on Higginson Avenue. They built this new big complex where they have that R1 indoor car racing too.
Yeah, the car racing thing.
It's right next door to it.
Just as an aside, I'm curious because I haven't really looked into this. If somebody's going to CCRI, one of those CCRI or RIC or something, somebody that's participating in a two-year course, a three-year course, maybe they might be interested in a business course.
Yes.
They might want to attend something
Absolutely.
Like this to get a,
I think
get
that
a
would
feel
be great. Yeah. Right.
for what it is.
And see the people that are in the industry. See, you know, if you have questions about getting into property management, I think this is a great event to go to. It's social. It's active. I mean, you're going to get to know a couple of people's stories, how they got into the business. So Holly Rigoli, who is our vice president right now for IREM, she's kind of really pushed
this. Yeah. Yes, for sure.
So
When is it?
May 23rd. It's on a Wednesday.
You're going to get your laser tag on, Jack?
My laser tag on.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
Chrissy,
I'm waiting. Get your sneakers ready. What?
We should be a team.
Team up against Jack?
Yeah. Well, everybody.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Why not? It can't be Chrissy against Dina. It has to be Chrissy and Dina.
Right.
Well, the gruesome twosome.
So if you're interested in any of the events, I know that we usually talk a little bit more about Karen towards the end of the show, but Karen Cuddle is our association executive, and if you have any questions about this, you can give her a call at 401-479-7734.
All right, so we are going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we're going to speak to Brenda Clement from Housing Works RI and also Jack from the Just Jack Monthly Show. And both Chrissy and myself, we're just here on the side today.
Yep.
Sounds like a plan.
So you're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show. We will be right back after this.
Property Management Show with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right. It is 4:20 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my fabulous Prima Dina. I think I'm gonna stick
with
that.
Where did that come from?
There's a business around the corner.
Prima Donna.
No, there's a business around the corner that's opening up. It's a salon, and they're naming it Prima Dina.
No, they're
not.
And
when I saw it, I was like, Dina Cimarelli all day. Dina Cimarelli.
Stole my name.
So that's Dina Cimarelli. She's my lovely, fabulous, wonderful co-host.
Oh, I love it.
Are you going to be able to fit your head out the
door? See, this is why I can't play against you in laser tag. I have to play with you.
Okay.
I can't take you down. You build me up every Tuesday. How can I take you down on a Wednesday? It doesn't work like that.
No, can't do
that. Teamwork makes the dream work.
That's right.
We are partners
against Jack.
There you go.
What do you think? Oh, my God. You and Sherry Chris. Let's do it.
Sherry.
She would do it.
You think?
Sherry, yeah.
I'll call her on the way
home. She's in. Let's do it.
I'll call her on the
way
home. Laser
tag.
She's like, what did Chrissy sign me up for?
Come on, Sherry.
If I forget, remind me.
But I will. Next week, because we got to know with Jack next week, too.
No, with Jack.
That's right.
No, seriously, if I forget. You know, my memory isn't too good at my age, so I have to program things. I'll write it down.
Take a note. Call Sherry Chris.
Call.
Have to do a laser tag May 23rd.
I'm ready to
You got it. You got it. May 23rd, Battlegrounds.
May 23rd.
Yep. She'll be there.
Register online at iremri.org. Yeah. Click under upcoming events and you can register.
I can't wait. I can't wait for this.
Okay, so we are going to get to our special guest today. We introduced her a little bit earlier in the show. Her name is Brenda Clement, and she is the director of Housing Works RI. And welcome back again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome, Brenda.
So I have a little bit of info on Brenda. I got her bio. I'd like to read it just so everybody can kind of come familiar with her. She has an extensive amount of, I don't even know. Every time I read these people's, you know, guest bios when they come in, I don't know how you have fit this all in a lifetime so far, but let's get started with it. And then, Jack, you can take over.
Okay. How's that? Thank you.
Chrissy, you just sit back.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Okay, so Brenda, like I mentioned, is the director of Housing Works RI at Roger Williams University. And prior to Housing Works, Brenda served as the executive director of Citizens Housing and Planning Association, which I just asked, and the acronym is CHAPA. And she did that from 2012 to 2016 and was responsible for managing and overseeing all aspects of the agency's work. CHAPA was established in 1967 and was a nonprofit umbrella organization for affordable housing and community development activities in Massachusetts. In 1995, CHAPA created the New England Housing Network, which coordinates federal advocacy efforts for affordable housing across the region. Brenda has over 20 years of experience in the housing and community development field. She previously served as executive director of the Housing Action Coalition of Rhode Island. That's a statewide affordable housing advocacy organization, and as the executive director of the Housing Network, the Rhode Island Trade Association for Community Development Corporations. Brenda is also a founding member of the New England Housing Network and served on the board of the National Low Income Housing Coalition for 9 years and just recently completed her term as chair. She has a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science and Economics from PC and a Juris Doctor from Washington College of Law at American University. She has received many awards and recognition for her work, including a Lifetime Achievement Award in 2012 from Rhode Island Housing, a Healthy Housing Award from Rhode Island Department of Health in 2011, and lastly, a Local Hero Award from Bank of America in 2008. That is pretty impressive.
Welcome. Wow.
That is fantastic.
Unbelievable.
It is. I read these and I just get so happy. I do. Right. I love all these achievements.
I get depressed. I'm like, what am I doing?
No, you do. No, this is amazing.
You're a young lady.
No, that is amazing. So, Brenda, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, because Jack actually said that you were a veteran in the industry.
Yes, I'm going to keep veterans, on doing this housing stuff till I get it right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you've mastered it.
Sounds like you're doing okay.
There's so many things that we got to talk about. I mean, it's some of the things that, with all due respect, Brenda was on Channel 12 over the weekend, and some of the things that were on Channel 12 with Ted Nisi and Dave Caldwell and Joe from the Board of Realtors. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the same things that we, I think, have to keep hopping on to make sure people understand what kind of a situation we're in. We don't have enough affordable housing. That's the basic premise that we're here for today. And in the coming weeks, months, and years, we talk about it, and I think we talk about a number of things. We talk about density. We talk about concepts. We talk about village centers. And I think Brenda is probably one of the most intelligent people relative to putting these things together and discussing them in a way that people understand it. We are down. We need 3,000 houses built a year. Mm-hmm. We're building 1,000. Out of those 1,000, probably 200 or 300 are affordable.
That's right.
Because of the price of the houses. In Providence alone, I remember I went to a breakfast the mayor put on, and they showed, and I counted them. I think I mentioned this to you before.
Mm-hmm.
I counted all those different developments that they put out in this huge presentation, and I counted 1,119 conventional apartments.
Mm-hmm.
I counted 51 affordable housing units.
Wow.
In the old night building. That's, talk about a disparity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brenda, so kind of enlighten us as to where we are and where we aren't.
Sure. And again, thank you for the opportunity. If I could just do a little more plugging for HousingWorks.
Sure.
We are located at Roger Williams University at the downtown Providence campus, and we serve as a clearinghouse for information about all things housing. As Jack mentioned, we put out an annual fact book, which hopefully you've seen, but you can download from our website, that has all kinds of data and information about state and regional. We have information about every city and town, and housing costs and rental costs in each community. And so we try to be, through our research and our analysis on issue briefs, we try to be the discussion starter, as Jack said, and the banging the drum about the importance of developing housing, particularly housing that's affordable to people at all income levels, and try to show and demonstrate that if we don't do it, it ends up costing us in educational systems, it ends up costing us money in health care systems, and it prevents us from growing and attracting new jobs. So Jack's absolutely right. We are underproducing housing and have been since really the late 80s at this point.
Wow.
And so we've, you know, way, way behind. Our neighbors and both immediate neighbors in both Connecticut and Massachusetts invest 10 times more in housing and affordable housing development than we do in our state. And so we've got a lot of catch up to do. That said, I don't want to be all negative, because I also think we have a lot of opportunity as well, too, and a lot of exciting new initiatives going on with job creation and job growth. I think we just need to, bring everybody together to realize that we can't succeed and we can't continue to grow economically if we don't address where our workers live.
Well, I think one thing we got in our favor right now is the Speaker of the House and the Governor, all right, have been extremely helpful. As disclosure, mm-hmm. I'm a member of the Rhode Island Home Builders, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of legislation going in every year relative to perpetuating the building of new homes, all right, from environmental to building roads and trying to get legislation passed to make it a lot easier mm-hmm. in many, many municipalities throughout the state. But it's a struggle every year. But over the last 3 to 4 years, again with the Speaker and with the Governor, we've had a number of legislative initiatives passed that has given us a little bit more breathing room, we'll say. So, I mean, but it's still, as Brenda just said,
and in the Senate, as Jack knows, thanks to the builders and Grow Smart's leadership, the Senate just passed the municipal infrastructure bill, mm-hmm. and that's will be a huge piece for
huge it bill.
Because we know any development, affordable or any real estate development, has impact on local systems, water and sewer, and other infrastructure. And so this bill is based on a very successful program in Massachusetts, MassWorks, that I worked closely on when I was in Massachusetts as well. And it was a huge key piece to helping build and develop affordable housing. It makes sense to reuse and repurpose infrastructure in already existing in Rhode Island. And so looking at village centers, looking at old strip malls, looking at, you know, all the old Benny's buildings, all of those buildings where it makes sense because it makes sense to build in a denser fashion, but it also makes sense to connect it to transit and to rip the hub bus lines. And so there's lots of opportunity.
And to explain, the density is so important. The reason the density is so important that if you have let's say, a 20,000 square foot lot, let's say you can put probably an apartment complex on that, and let's say it's 2 and 3 bedroom complex, versus the what small towns and towns in the state are looking at restricting you to 4 or 5 acre lots. Mm-hmm. All right, but if you have a 20, let's say 3 acre, 4 acre, and you put in 10 apartments, all right, and you put in 5, 6, 7, 10 kids, mm-hmm. all right, the town is worried about the $15,000 per kid to put in. But if you because they're only going to bring in so much taxes in a single family home,
yes,
$5,000, yeah, costs $15,000 to educate a kid.
Yeah.
But if you increase the density, all right, you put more people in a smaller area, mm-hmm. all right, but so the taxes really pay for that school, the number of school kids is going to be in that building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a misnomer because people look at it, no, we don't want no more building here. We don't want no more building mm-hmm. because the lots are too big. Or if the lots are too, and the kids are going to, we put one person, it's only going to be $5,000 in taxes. It's going to cost $15,000 for the
per child.
Yep. So the more density you have, the better off you're going to be relative to payback to the town.
Yeah, and less transportation costs, right, busing kids into school. You know, I mean, all of the above.
Right.
All right. We do have to take a quick break. Okay. See how I told you we have to cut Jack off sometimes? I was holding up my finger. I think he thought I meant he's number one. Okay.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Superman building, right?
Yeah. He loves that.
Loves it.
All right. So we are going to take a quick break right now. You're listening to IRM Today, the Property Management Show, and we will be right back after this.
Now back to IRM Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right. It is 4:36 here on IRM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my fabulous co-host, Dina Cimarelli.
Fabulous.
We're live here
in the
studio.
What happened to Prima Dina? I just lost that.
You like that?
Hey, it was 5 minutes ago.
I lost it already.
She was getting all upset. She had a long face about it, and she was all sad about it. Yeah. I had to get her tissues during the break about it, and now she wants to be known as Prima Dina.
It's like the typical woman. I say I don't like flowers, but I love flowers. Just buy me flowers. You're supposed to know this because you're a woman.
Okay.
When you say don't buy me flowers, that means you want flowers.
Exactly. So when I say don't call me that. Did you get it?
I'm sorry. I got distracted. Me and Jack were talking about lights, J&K lighting.
Oh, you and your buddy Joe.
My boy Joe, who's 90. Still working there.
Oh my God.
And we found out that we have the same lighting fixture.
Same lighting in the hallway.
That's
coming
so
in,
nuts.
The entrance and over the dining room table.
Look at that, Jack.
That's what all the cool kids have.
Jack.
That's it.
I can't believe it.
I'm telling you.
That one's a wild light. You are wild, Jack.
You gotta do it. Do it to me right now.
Oh,
here we are.
Here we are.
Anyway. We are back. So we're back in studio
back
with
in studio.
Jack Bentz and Brenda Clement, Director of Housing Works RI.
And when we left, you guys were chatting. Did you want to pick up where you kind of left off, or do you have some another topic that you wanted to kind of talk to Brenda about?
I think the same items are, I think, germane to what we was talking about before, which is density. And one of the other things is throughout the state, there's a state law that each community should have 10% affordable housing. I would dare say there's probably only
five out of the 39.
I was going to say three to five. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brenda. You have all the demographics and the scory details.
Yeah.
And you know, the ones that have it, I think, are struggling with it. I think Woonsocket, Providence, mm-hmm. Pawtucket.
Woonsocket, no, Providence, Central Falls, Newport, and who am I forgetting?
They're struggling in terms of Warwick, they don't have
West
10%.
Warwick, no, none of those communities
Coventry,
are at 10%. It's
County.
Woonsocket, Newport,
Tiverton,
Providence, and no, it's one of the Central Falls. I'll think of it in a
second.
Sorry.
That'll be your mission for the day.
Yeah, it's in the fact book. We shall find
but
it.
I mean, but there it goes. Then it goes to the density issue again, where a lot of these communities have more than ample space, be it Richmond, be it Tiverton, be it East Greenwich, be it wherever, South County. All right. I mean, I think that's something that has to be looked at from the standpoint of zoning.
Mm-hmm.
Zoning is a big issue.
I remember the fifth one, New Shoreham, Block Island.
I would have never thought
of
that.
Yeah, is actually doing a fabulous job in affordable housing because they realize that they can't, there's no places for their workers to live. They're largely a service economy, particularly in the summer and
right.
spring.
You know, that's really interesting.
And
because
they are doing a really great job trying to address the needs.
That's really interesting because a good friend of mine that owns a spring house, he built a facility that houses all his workers for the summer, in fact, year-round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so he built a major facility for them.
Yeah, and we used to get that all the time. I mean, you only have to go through all of the urban core and older suburban communities and see the examples of mill housing, where you had the center of jobs, the mills, and then you had all different types of housing styles around those mills. You had some for the, you know, the entry-level workers. You had some for middle management, and then you had, mm-hmm. you know, bigger mansions and other things for owners.
Well, that was called new cities. That's what they were looking at.
But, I mean, we used to understand the connectedness between housing and transportation and jobs, and mm-hmm. for various reasons, that's unraveled in our world and in our state, and so trying to repurpose and reuse and reconnect those lines together, I think, is critical for our ultimate economic success.
Well, I think one of the locations that could probably is conducive to this particular type of development, which I call new cities. That was a program mm-hmm. that was
mm-hmm. here it comes.
Kind of died on the vine, I think.
New cities are model cities.
New cities was a program, yeah. And we looked at it from the Cranston Printworks,
okay.
which is a major, major, major development.
Yeah.
But it never got off the ground because of the sheer cost.
Yeah.
In fact, Cranston Printworks, if anybody knows, is owned by the Rockefellers.
Right.
All right. And that's, we looked at it, we designed it, we put it together. But then what happened? The economy went in the tank in 2007,
mm-hmm.
and it got abandoned because Rhode Island Housing didn't have any availability of funding, mm-hmm. and so we kind of abandoned it. But we had a whole program put together. I think there was 200 and some odd apartments that we laid out there, and we got pretty well into it until the economy collapsed. So. Who knows? It might come around again.
Yeah, and I mean, as you know, that's why the state historic tax credit is such an important tool that we need back into better, more productive use as well, too. We know we need to continue to invest into housing. Right now, we don't have a state source. We don't have housing in the state budget. There's no dedicated funding stream for the production
None.
Of housing.
Zero.
And so you're absolutely right. I mean, zoning is an underlying barrier, an issue as well, too, that we have to look at places where it makes sense to grow and develop in our communities, but we then also need the money to build and develop in those areas.
And Rhode Island Housing is eating off where their funding comes from is for the mortgages that they
that's
put
right.
out, and that's the only source of funding we have. Because
right.
Rhode Island Housing is one of the few agencies in the country that doesn't receive any funding from the government. They don't receive, when the government, I mean the state government.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leaves them kind of at a disadvantage, and that their only funding source is from the mortgages, and when they're floating bonds, they have to go to the bond market to sell the bonds so that we or any developer can do a project.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Right.
So it is kind of a conundrum we're in as to how we're going to get these things done. You know, obviously we talk to Barbara Fields all the time and all the people that are involved in Rhode Island Housing, Eric Shorter and Carol.
The whole team.
So is that kind of like our biggest obstacle, the funding, is why you say we're a little bit behind Mass
funding,
and Connecticut?
We're way behind. Yeah. You know, we're 10 times behind.
Yeah.
So yes, it is. Yeah. And but then you also, you know, the local communities are critical partners in this work. And so looking to develop, and, you know, that's why the municipal infrastructure bill is so important. That's why the zoning discussions are so important, so that we look at where does it make sense to grow and develop.
Yes.
Because our biggest growing populations are millennials and people who are aging, and those folks are both at the lower part of the income spectrum as they downsize and retire, you know, and they want to stay in their community, but there's no smaller units necessarily for them to move into, and there's no starter homes or starter rental developments for millennials and young professionals to start. So looking at those changing demographics, looking at how do we retrofit existing housing to meet those
to
needs is part of what
let me give
do.
You an example. All right, and this is something that Barbara Fields and I and Brenda and a number of other people have talked about. You asked about other states. Massachusetts, for example, floated this past year $1.2 billion bond.
Wow.
A billion. Correct
it's actually 1.7.
I was going to say 1.7.
It was 1.4 when I was there at CHAPA, and we very successfully passed that. And my colleagues now at CHAPA have just passed the $1.7 billion.
I was going to say 1.7, but I wasn't sure. But I was sure that she was going to correct
me.
She knows
she has the facts.
But people are coming back.
Talking about billions is so fun for a Rhode Islander.
Right. So come back to reality in Rhode Island. And I had a meeting with some people, which I won't mention, but they said, they come to me and said, well, you know, $1.7 billion, look at all the items in the program. Yeah, and I wasn't that smart. I should have read the whole bond bill before. Yeah, there was a whole bunch of other things in that bill, all right, but there was $400 million for housing. $400 million for affordable housing. You know the numbers better than me.
Yeah.
$660 million for one thing, $67 million for another thing, $50 million for another thing. But what this individual I was talking to keyed in on that one issue. He said, well, you only had $400 million. I said, well, $400 million, we only got $50
million. Yeah.
I mean, just do the math alone
for that alone. For sure.
I mean, we don't have to be geniuses to figure this out.
We're one-sixth the size of Massachusetts, so I'll take a sixth of the $1.7 billion.
That's where I had to go. Take a sixth.
Yeah.
Take a sixth of that. You know, how many people in Massachusetts? 8 million?
About that, probably.
8 million, yeah. So do the 8 million to 1 million, and you got the program.
Yeah.
And we're so underfunded, it's pathetic.
All right, so on that note, we are going to take another break. We'll come back. We're going to wrap up with Brenda and Jack and give you information again about Housing Works Rhode Island. And so right now we're going to take a quick break.
Yes, sounds great.
We're listening to IRM Today, the Property Management Show. We will be right back after this.
Now back to IRM Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Semirelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, it is 4:48 here on IRM Today, an hour with Jack, sponsored by An Hour with Jack, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my fabulous Prima Dina co-host,
Dina
Semirelli. We're live here in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m., So, Jack.
Yes, ma'am.
What else do you have?
Oh, God. We could go on for a couple of days.
Well, we don't have a couple of days. We have a couple of minutes.
We go back to the village concept. We go back to the density issue. And we go back to the dollars that are available. All right. I think the dollars that are available, we need more dollars. And we need more. I don't know if it's legislation. I don't know. It's convincing the cities and towns that have such strict density requirements, working on them. I know Brenda and the group were talking about this on Sunday. The biggest thing is the density requirement, I think, right now. We have to get over that.
Yeah, I mean, we make smart decisions about where to encourage and grow and develop housing, link it to transit, link it to existing infrastructure, link it to places where people can get access to jobs and services. I mean, we all love Rhode Island. We want to preserve what we love about the city the state as well, too. But we also need to have a place for workers to live. And housing investment creates jobs, whether it's from the builders to the title attorney, to the local hardware store to go buy the lighting fixtures.
Joe.
You're going to see 90-year-old Joe. He's the best.
We also have to look at the density requirements. We also have to look at the infrastructure.
Yep.
Sewer, water.
Yep.
All right, sewerage, gas, electric.
Yep. All of those.
All those things that the state has to step up and assist, like in Massachusetts. They have capital available to do this vis-a-vis the state.
Yep, the infrastructure program.
And I
think the important one of the great important points that I think Dave and Joe from the Realtors and the Builders made was that the builders don't want to build out in greenfields. It costs them too much money to have to do roads and all the infrastructure. They would much rather retrofit existing units or build in places where that infrastructure already exists. They can make more money doing that, and that is fine. That's what they're supposed to be doing, right?
Correct.
And so it's not nobody wants to build on greenfields. The environmentalists don't want it. Affordable, it's not good siting for affordable housing. The builders don't want to do it. It's too costly. The municipalities don't want to do it. So let's figure out where it does make sense and start building because the population's aging fast and needs those alternatives, and we're going to continue to lose jobs if we don't have places for people to start their careers living from as well.
So in essence, we have a little bit of work to do. I think we're on the way, but it's taken a long, long time to get to where we are. And
it's probably
going
to take
about,
longer to
we're
get
about
to
halfway
Massachusetts.
There. I don't think we're halfway there, but it's a struggle. Brenda's been involved in it for a long, long, long time, and she's been doing a great job with Housing Works Rhode Island. We're with her. The Rhode Island Builders are with her, all right, and the Realtors are with us, so we just got to keep pounding away at the legislature and the public in general and convincing them.
Agreed.
That's our job. Hopefully we've been doing the job that we're supposed to be doing, and hopefully we're successful over the course. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, housing investment's a critical piece of economic development and growth, and you can't grow jobs in your community without it. So.
And you can't grow without kids growing up. Oh, education
kids.
Is a key.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that we have to keep hopping on and making sure we don't give up.
Yeah,
that's right.
And if you want to learn more about what Brenda does, you can visit the website, housingworksri.org. It's a very nice website. It's very easy to maneuver around. You can contact them directly at 401-276-4806. I don't know if there's anything else you want to mention as far as contact information, Brenda.
You can find lots of information, including our fact book and the municipal pages on that.
And you said there's a download available
as well? There is a download available.
I mean, it's pretty thick.
Yeah, it's a pretty big book, but you can go
take
a look.
I think it's very interesting, though. Like, I never saw that before.
I'm
not on the affordable side of things, but everything in there was very informative, and especially like it's interesting to see where I live, what that goes for, and where I also work, what that goes for.
And one thing I like to mention too, which we haven't really touched on, is the AMI, the income streams, and we're building stuff for people that are, in a 30 AMI, alternate minimum income. We should be looking also at people in the 60, 80, 100, 120 AMI, alternate minimum income, because those are the people that are kind of left out of the process. We have to look at that.
Yeah.
We didn't mention that. That's another whole game.
Yeah.
All right, and get into that and how we're going
to
have to adjust to that.
We need to produce units at all income levels, not just for the very low income. We need more at those at the lower end, but that first job. I mean, the median average wage is $50,000 or so, $54,000
right now in Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island, and so many jobs that are starter jobs in Rhode Island earn less than that, which means that
it's not hard to
raise a family on
that's
that.
Right.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah,
and so
no
you're
way.
Cost burden, and you're spending more than 30% of your housing of your income towards your housing cost, and that means that you often have to make difficult choices.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really difficult Even if you make 54,000,
yeah,
you can't afford
even a married couple, one child, 54,000.
That's nowhere near. Two people have to work.
Right, two people. You definitely
need 80 yeah. just
get you just to maybe a vacation once a year. Yeah. It really does.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. And if that's a local.
That's a Newport.
That's in New Hampshire.
That's a drive.
Yeah, that's not Kennebunkport. Somewhere local. You're not getting on a plane. Yeah, you're not getting on a plane.
It really is. It really is a tough. Tough time, especially for housing and for people that are paying the rent.
Well, we look forward to Jack and Brenda changing the ways and just making everything.
Keep on talking about it. Yes. So.
We'll just keep beating away at it.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
There's no
way. It takes a village.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
No, I love going to meetings with Jack because he always asks the affordable housing question, so it's not just me whining and moaning about it. Jack always raises the issue.
That's great. See? Teamwork.
Yep.
Teamwork.
Maybe you two should be on Battlegrounds together.
Maybe. Laser tag. Speaking of events,
Chrissy, what do we have coming up for IRA?
Speaking of events, we have a kind of a big event going on, the awards night dinner.
And we found out where it is. You didn't want to tell us, Jack.
Yeah, it's at in East Providence. Not far from here. We can make it.
No, Madeira.
And it's on
Madeira,
a Tuesday, too. So
it is?
Yeah, it's on a Tuesday.
It's on the 15th.
It's on the May 7th.
15th.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No. The 15th. Yes.
Oh, it was supposed to be on a Wednesday. Why did
I didn't click on it?
Okay.
I changed it.
No, did you?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
You did.
It's
That's
May
15th. Why you were being a little fishy last week. I gotcha.
It's Tuesday, May 15th, and registration closes on May 7th. But, you know, this event, I guess last year, we got an award last year.
We did. We got Volunteer of the Year Award.
Yeah, we'll be booted from that now. But
for taking over the radio.
Right. I mean, maybe Jack should get it, Volunteer of the Year. Volunteer of the Month, that's for sure.
Is that called an honorable mention?
Yes.
I'm going to give you an honorable mention.
Oh, there you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Actually, is that the same day, May 23rd? May 23rd. I'm sorry. May 23rd is a Rhode Island Housing Workshop at Sparrows Point in Warwick. And we also have, like I had mentioned before, the IRAM Young Professionals event, which is at Battlegrounds
also
in Lincoln.
Also on May 23rd.
On May 23rd. Yep. Yeah. So, I guess you could go to one or the other.
Both.
Well, no, you could go to both.
I know. There's
the other
enough time
night.
In between to get back to work.
Yeah.
Get your sneakers on. You'll be fine.
Then what else do we have?
Then we have the Northeast Regional Networking event, which I just signed up for today.
It's a big event.
It's a big event. Morton Steakhouse in Boston.
It's in Seaport.
Right on the ocean.
I was there last night. Ate at this wonderful Mexican restaurant. Before
I've eaten there.
Temezcal.
It's right there. It's right in Seaport, right? It's so good.
Amazing.
The guacamole is delicious.
They have lobster guacamole. Mm-hmm. We had tuna tarts. We had a tuna stack. We have shrimp ceviche. We had everything, some spicy margaritas. It was a great way to see pink. That's all I'm saying.
When I die, I want to come back as Prima Dina over here.
Prima Dina, boy. She's all right.
She was floating in the sky, too.
Oh, my God.
Such a good night. I had some fish tacos.
Forget it.
On the ocean. She's going to pink. She's going to
great.
My God. The next thing she said, she stayed in Boston.
And I did, and I actually came home. I fell asleep in the backseat of my cousin's car. I was tired.
This is why she has the name Prima Dina.
Listen, we're only here once.
That's right.
As far as I know. And
live life.
Live life. And then also we're taking registrations for our 11th annual golf tournament that's going to be held once again at Pawtucket Country Club. Chrissy's golfing this year, right, Chrissy?
I am. We actually, I think, just registered. So.
I
golfed last year, too, Jack. Yeah, with the program.
They can't. The company can't afford me to play golf. Not enough golf balls. Titleist had the best year when I used to play.
Kept losing them. You had to keep buying them.
Yeah.
So, Chrissy, how can they find us?
So, if you're interested in anything that we went over today, from designations to becoming an industry partner, give Karen a call at 401-479-7734. If you've missed any part of the program, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for IRAM Today, or you can listen to the podcast on our website, iramri.org. I guess I will do it for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you both
for coming
on. Brenda, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. Nice
and Jack, we'll see you
next
week.
See you next week.
Have a great night.
You
goodbye.
Too. Bye-bye, guys.
This episode of IRAM Today is brought to you by ARS Restoration, here when you need expert help with fire, flood, and water damage repair the most. To consult with ARS Restoration Specialists, please call 401-722-9595 or visit them online at arsserve.com.